independent majority press availability. Just to review the bidding, this is 30 minutes or less, and not more. And what we'd like to do is essentially have a couple people say kind of introductory comments, and then open it up for questions. And, you know, we all know about identifying yourself and what have you. And I just saying identifying, everyone knows Senator Fairclough, myself, Charlie Huggins, Senator McGuire, and Senator Dunleavy. And obviously you can ask them directly your questions. And my recommendation is you ask Senator Fairclough and Senator Dunleavy the hard questions.
No.
So with that, Senator McGuire.
Thank you. Well, it's good to see all of you here. I'm just going to start off with a little bit about what's happening in oil tax reform and an update. I just want to compliment Senator Dunleavy, who's here, and his co-chair in Senator Michicki. You know, for two freshmen, it's just been really inspiring to see these two leaders come into the state and take on an issue as complex as this oil tax reform issue and lead the way that they have in their committee. They've emphasized to you over and over that the TAPS Throughput Committee is not a tax committee, and they're staying true to that in the sense that this is the first issue that they're taking on, but with a fairly rigorous timeline. So the expectation is that this will be the last week that this committee is looking at it so that it can move on then to the Resources Committee for more thorough analysis, and then finally on to the Finance Committee. But in that particular committee, of course, we have looked at the governor's four guiding principles. Is it fair to Alaskans, this new system? Will it encourage new production? Is it a simple and balanced system? And will it be competitive now and into the future? And those have been guiding principles for us in our committee. It's, of course, our majority's top priority. And I think what's been exciting is that we have this new team that's taking a fresh look at it. For all of you that I recognize here in the press that have gotten a chance to see, this bill is unlike anything else we've ever seen. And I want to compliment the governor's team in particular for taking a step back, admitting that past efforts may have been may not have been successful, and to rework that bill in a way that, again, would have those four guiding principles and would look at some things like, for example, credits, where the state had some exposure out there that had not been addressed in past iterations of the bill. There's definitely room for improvement in the bill. I think we all understand that, but it is a great starting point, and we've heard so far in the testimony that people are willing to work with us, willing to work with the Senate, and to make this bill a great bill that will be hopefully enduring. The goal, at least from my perspective, is to find a tax system that we can have in place for at least a decade or two decades, as opposed to having changed our fiscal system now three times in the last 6 years. That's one of the things that we've heard over and over from industry in our committee, in the TAPS Throughput Committee, is that the changes to that particular fiscal system make Alaska look like we don't have stability. And so that's something that we're looking at. So I look forward to a good result for Alaskans, putting Alaskans first, and I wanted to lead off with that and then turn it over to Senator Dunleavy as the co-chair of that committee to talk a little bit more about his committee and his leadership, and just again compliment him.
Thank you very much. As the senator said, we're currently looking at a bill in the committee. The TAPS committee was a special committee, as you know, formed through a Senate resolution to examine how we could increase production. And so one of the first things we were looking at, of course, was a bill was put in by the governor. But I just want to clarify a little bit that the view of the committee is how can we increase production? Because as we know, production is tied to our revenue. And dropping production is going to negatively impact our revenue. So we are looking at the bill. We hope to wrap up our work in this committee by Friday at the latest, because it's going to need to go to resources. And those folks will get to take a look at it. But there's hearings today. There are there's still folks that we need to hear from before I think we can come up with any findings, conclusions, et cetera, to send on to resources. So if you're around this afternoon, you should come to the hearing and see what we're doing.
Yeah, if I could, just very quickly, Charlie Huggins, to add on to a couple of things. That, I mean, number one, we're proud to have Mike Dunleavy as part of the TAP throughput. But I remind each of you that if you don't TAP throughput, that's the first time you see the bill, you will see it again. Some people, like a person to my left, will see it multiple times beyond two. That's by design, so that we have continuity. We have people that are on a continuum of education, so we make the most enlightened decision, and we have leaders like Anna and the two senators to my right that are preparing the rest of the Senate so we can all be spun up on this. And to be quite frank, we have a number of educational sessions that we're scheduling amongst ourselves to make sure that we cross-fertilize the information, no question going unanswered. Anna.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Fairclough, it's my privilege to serve on the TAPS Throughput Committee. I'll see many of those bills again on the Resource Committee and then finally in Finance. So you'll see me hopefully listen more than speak, at least in the first committee. The second committee, with that resource lens, really talk about what are the capacity of our rocks, what's there, and how easily can we access those rocks. Is there oil left to have, or do we need to settle for a decline? I don't think that we do. I think that Alaska has tremendous resources and lots of potential, but we need to see where we can go. With that, I'm happy to say that the procurement bill, SB 12, don't want to get it confused with 21. I think that was another bill I was carrying last year, not necessarily procurement. Did pass out of state affairs today, and we're happy to see that move forward. That will offer opportunities to rural Alaska and Alaskans to enter their property, say, for lease, if it's under 7,000 square feet, under a small procurement code. It does many things. It's a dense bill, but happy to talk to you about that if you want to have some conversation. I also have the privilege of serving as the alternate member on Alaska's Legislative Centennial Commission. You'll remember that from last year. It was a centennial celebration. We've tried to really reshape that conversation in trying to provide a conversation for Alaskans about our historical past, about those who've invested time in moving this state forward, about opportunities that have been provided first in our states. When you look at women's suffrage and how Alaska went forward to put on the availability of women to be able to vote. So we've tried to move away from that celebration theme and more of a commemorative educational opportunity that we can historically provide for the people of Alaska, links into education about how their legislature has been created one step at a time, to look at redistricting and how different members may have represented totally different geographic regions through that redistricting process that is set out in Alaska's framework. Obviously, we'll have logos to try to centralize themes, but really it's a message about education and providing that opportunity for Alaska students and historians to look at that. So with that, Mr. President, sorry, getting ready to say speaker, Mr.
Yeah,
President.
Yeah, thank you very much. And let me just mention one other thing that happened today, and I had the privilege of being able to go down and speak to the Association of School Boards, State School Boards. And it was a great conversation, and a number of people I knew, others that I didn't, that I really admire, and Carl Roses is about as good as it gets of creating some synergistic effect in that. But I sat at a table as I ate breakfast with three people from Cordova, a teacher by the name of Terry, Carl, who was a student. I asked Carl, I said, Carl, what's your favorite subject? He said, well, math. And I said, why is that your favorite subject? He says, because a teacher. And he described how it was an online course that he happened to be in the classroom with the teacher, and the teacher had a smart board, and it was audio and video, and it was inspiring to listen to him. Then I learned that Carl was a Eagle Scout, and I don't say much more about Eagle Scouts, and his favorite caliber rifle to shoot moose was a .30-06, so he was okay. The other young man, Stephen, which is prototypical Cordova, he and his dad start fishing on 15 May, and they fish all the species of salmon. So it was nice to hear that. And then, of course, Terry was a teacher. She used to teach in Wasilla, so we told some Wasilla war stories. But it was heartwarming to develop a rapport and exchange with people across the state, a myriad of variances and what the demands and the challenges are. But it's good to be able to do that. And one lady went charging up because afterwards I said, come to see me in room 111, because her son had just got back from Iraq here in the last tour of duty, named Matthew, down at Fort Hood. She came up and was able to give her a cup. So that was a highlight of the morning, and it was certainly fun for me. So with that, we just throw it up to questions. Yes, ma'am. Becky.
Becky Borth, the Associated Press. This is for the committee members, the TAPS committee members. Senator McGuire, as you mentioned, we've heard repeatedly it's not an oil tax committee, but the oil tax bill has been before the committee now. I think this is the third week. There are other issues that Senator Michicki had talked about, regulations, leases, facilities. Are you all convinced at this point that there is a problem with oil taxes that needs to be addressed? And if so, how can you be confident and make recommendations as to a bill if you haven't had a chance to get into some of the other issues that might be affecting production?
If I may. That was the purpose in breaking out this committee. Instead of having, let's say, having it go through resources and then finance, you have another committee that is dedicated solely to this issue. So part of our job is to uncover or turn over every stone we possibly can, research as much of this as we can, and try and answer those essential questions. And there are questions that we had as a committee when we started out. Can we stem the decline in production? If the answer is yes, how do we go about doing that? Does it center just around tax policy? Does it center around our fiscal policies as a state? In other words, does our spending more money every year impact how outside investors or oil companies may want to invest in the state of Alaska? How do they view Alaska as an environment? So although a lot of folks may want to call it a tax committee simply because currently the governor's tax bill is there, we're trying to look at every possible reason that is adding to the decline, and what are some possible things that we can do to actually reverse or at least hold that decline steady. So we're this is one of the things that the committee members and co-chair Michicki have spent virtually every day, every night, every morning on, is doing as much research as possible to uncover those answers. So then it'll go through, like we said on Friday, it'll move out of our committee with some thoughts and recommendations to the next committee, and they'll have a lot of the footwork done, a lot of the testimony done. They can review some of the testimony, the tapes, etc., the transcripts, and that'll help them move through their committee and answer even more questions. So this is probably going to be one of the most vetted issues, and it has been for the last couple of years, but this will probably be one of the most vetted issues in this session. And as the Senator McGuire said, this is a top priority for the Senate. Yeah.
Well, and I would just say, too, and it's a good question, Becky. You know, you'll see the recommendations that come out of the committee in terms of the testimony we've heard, and certainly so far the Support Industry Alliance has come forward and said they certainly believe that it is their opinion that over the last 6 years that they have seen a decline in investment as a result of the lack of competitiveness of our tax code, right? We've also heard from some members of the public that are supportive of that and some that are not. But for those that have testified in favor of changing the tax system, we're taking all of those, you know, those comments into consideration, and I think it's our job as the throughput committee to put that bill forward and to continue moving it through the process, because there is evidence, at least in my opinion, that our fiscal system, its lack of competitiveness, is at least part of what's going on in terms of the throughput in the Trans-Alaska pipeline. Is it everything? No, I don't believe that. And I think that's what's so exciting about this particular committee, an opportunity to look at the facilities, an opportunity to look at the competitiveness on the slope itself, the unit operating agreement, all those things. But certainly when you look at, as you've seen PFC Energy present last week, at where we sit in the OECD nations, we are the highest in the OECD nations at those higher prices per barrel. So certainly the testimony has been convincing to me, not just this year, but in the past 2 years, that our fiscal system is broken when it comes to high price per barrel oil. And I now have become convinced that it is certainly broken when it comes to exposure at the credits level as well. And I think that that case has been made by the administration, that we've put those credits out there to entice exploration, and that's exciting. We want to find a way to entice exploration, but if all of the kind of activity we'd like to see were to come in, the state could be on the hook for up to $1 billion that we may not have. And that has to sit alongside our obligations to pay for public education, for health, for roads and maintenance, and all the other things that we certainly have obligations to as state senators. So I think there is no question but that the system that we have right now is broken. And so I think the TAPS Throughput Committee is doing its job to move that bill forward and then to move on to the next things that may also be impeding our competitiveness.
Thank you, Becky. Well, I concur with other statements before me. Specifically, I think that Alaska is non-competitive. I've watched capital being moved specifically to Australia and outside of America, or down south to North Dakota as companies are repositionings. And, you know, we can't guarantee what their internal rate of return is. People will point to earning returns and say that's why we are competitive. I disagree with that. People are making money, but if they can make more money somewhere else in America, they usually move their money to do that. And Alaskans benefit from that. Inside of our permanent fund, we hold assets of some of those big three oil companies. And so when they're successful, we're successful. Alaska has always had to be careful with our partnership with the oil industry, and in the past that partnership has come under question. I think we need to be very careful as we move forward. I haven't been convinced that progressivity should be thrown out. Senator Stedman spoke to it on his first our first press release, where he said that creates a component of regressiveness in our tax, so I'm going to listen very carefully. I know the governor's proposal is suggesting that the complexity of the calculations and the accountability for those calculations are difficult. And so it will be a balance between, does progressivity help us on as we move up the price per dollar barrel with how much burden are we putting somewhere else and how accountable that is. But it's a big dollar, a big ticket item, and I think we need to be very careful with that. But again, bills are proposals for a discussion, and we're trying to engage Alaskans about our future. And that has to include, as Senator Dunleavy has suggested, fiscal accountability. Can we afford the things that we're offering in the forms of credits? And can we continue to support the same kind of education that we've grown to endear and to love? How will we do that into our future? And it's our responsibility to make sure that we have a level playing field going forward, that at least when we have the conversation about what the governor's proposed, that everything gets on the table, that we're not afraid to talk about progressivity and whether it's good or bad, whether we're afraid to talk about credits and whether they're good or bad. No matter what the bill is, it's an opportunity to engage in Alaskans in an honest discussion about what that means to Alaska and to the environment around us. With that said, I'll just close to say we're continuing to bring in experts to understand the taxation and other issues that are important to us. Specifically, Mel Knight, the Alberta experience, I believe is how it's labeled inside of the Resource Committee, actually experienced the progressivity and that whole model going into that tax regime, and how they felt, because of close proximity, I think it was to Saskatchewan, that capital was starting to be drawn over into that province. And so they reacted immediately to tax changes. And so we'll hear a personal story about someone who was elected and responsible with making those decisions this coming week.
Shauna Crowell, Alaska Education Update. I have an education question for Senator Dunleavy. Sorry, Shauna Crowell. Yesterday in the ASB fly-in question and answer session, you asked teachers, administrators, school boards, everyone to try to find ways to save money and do things better. You have been involved in school districts for a long time. What are your ideas for ways to save money and do things better? Do you have any things you'd like to see if you could change anything?
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate that question. It's true. I've been an educator my whole life. That's my profession. That's been my career. The reason I posed that question was the folks at the very end of our decision making are the students, parents, and teachers. They're the ones that know best what effects or what impacts are occurring on them as a result of our decisions at this level. And so we can continue to make decisions at 30,000 feet and guess and hope, or we can actually dig down and ask the very people that are affected by these decisions. And so what I did yesterday and in subsequent meetings with various school districts throughout the day, and I'll continue to do that this week and throughout this year, is to ask them, if there was a situation where there is no additional funding, what are some of the statutes, what are some of the regulations that you feel we should take a look at to either modify or get rid of or change in some form or fashion so that you're able to do your job on the limited budgets that you have? As a teacher, as a school administrator, I have just great faith in those folks at that level to be able to give us those ideas. Now, this is something that they're not used to. And there may be a number of things that Alaskans are not used to that we're going to have to discuss in the next couple of years if we do not stabilize our revenue situation or increase revenue. And so instead of us making decisions down here in Juneau at 30,000 feet, we're looking for input from those folks. And so there's a number of things that people are discussing that we'll take a look at, and then we'll make decisions on how to best deal with the educational situation.
So you don't have any personal suggestions for what you were asking other people?
I'm looking for feedback from folks on the ground first. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, thank you. And let's go, if we could, very quickly to Mike Mason in Dillingham so we don't miss him.
Yeah.
Mike, can you hear us?
Yeah, actually, it's Dave Benninger now from KDLG. Can you hear me okay?
Mike, stand by. We can't hear you. We're turning up the volume.
Okay, this is Dave Benninger now at KDLG.
Yeah, Dave, Charlie Huggins. You have a question?
I do have a question. This one for Senator McGuire. SB 32 looks to come up this later this week, maybe in a hearing on Friday. Folks up here concerned about the wording of that bill, and curious if you can explain sponsoring that bill and what that might mean for the Wood-Tikchik State Park.
Oh, absolutely. So this is an issue. This bill, Senate Bill 32, is the bill that would allow for a lake in Wood-Tikchik State Park to be considered for a hydro use. And I agreed, as you know, for many years here in the Senate, I have championed energy projects, low-cost energy being delivered to Alaskans. That is a mission for me. And in particular with this bill, I am not suggesting, I want to be clear, that the funding is there. I'm not suggesting that the local community will approve of it or that there is a project that will pass all of the hurdles. But what I wanted to do is to at least allow for the opportunity to be considered. And I think that that's really important when you look at low-cost energy in Alaskans. This is one of the banes of our existence. Here in the state. And it's a real travesty because, as you know, we've been referred to as the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy. We also have some of the largest known reserves of hydrocarbons still, even after the development of Prudhoe Bay and Cook Inlet, that are there. And yet Alaskans from Tok to the North Slope to Igigik, down to Southeast Alaska have some of the highest costs of energy and they struggle. And so for me, in introducing the bill, it was an opportunity to say, let's at least allow for this area to be available for a hydro use if the citizens in that area can come together with their local native corporation to make this project a success.
Thank you.
Yeah, Adam, go ahead.
Adam Pinsker, KTUU, Anchorage. This would be, I guess, for Senator Dunleavy on the TAPS committee, more of a procedural question. I think you mentioned that you're going to take a list of recommendations based on the testimony you get and you've been getting for the past couple weeks on increasing throughput. Do those recommendations go along to the other committees, and does that sort of help? Are they supposed to take that information and base it on decisions they make? And just kind of tell us how this process is going to work.
Very good question. Again, committees, because it's a very important issue. This committee is solely focused on the issue of production, trying to stem that. Right. Part of this is a fact-finding mission, basically. We're taking testimony. We're asking the questions. We're having discussions amongst ourselves. And what will happen as we get towards Friday, we'll come up with a list of recommendations. There could possibly be some recommendations regarding the governor's bill from committee members. There could be a list of points for folks to take a look at in the next committee. There could be a white paper. We're going to try and give the next committee as much information as possible, because we know this is time consuming, and to get experts up here, it's sometimes difficult. So we're going to give them as much information as possible, and we'll probably end up giving them some recommendations as well. And they'll be able to work with that, move quickly, hopefully through resources.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we're on the clock here now, so we're hitting 30 minutes. So we appreciate very much your coming today. An individual, if you want to get with one of the senators, but we talked about our time frame, and we appreciate your coming, and we wish you the best, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.